You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, folks. Are you ready to go party? Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to Jazz Fest. Today's password is Grigris, G-R-I-S, G-R-I-S. You go to WWL.com/contest. You can register to win. It's not difficult. Don't miss your chance to win Jazz Fest tickets, plus round-trip Jazz Fest Express Shuttle passes. Those make it really easy. WWL is giving away a pair every day this week. All you have to do is listen to Tommy, me, Scooter Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest password of the day, which is Grigris today. A lot of folks you're going to get to see. Foo Fighters, Neil Young, Bonnie Raitt, Queen Latifah, Hozier, Greta Van Fleet, Trombone Shorty, a lot more. Good luck and happy festing from Miller Lite and the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. We're going to be out at Jazz Fest tomorrow, broadcasting live from 10 to 1 at the Miller Tent. And so it's going to be hard to have No Filter Friday. So let's go to the talk lines today. We got John. You're up. What say you, John?
Hey, Noel. I looked you up trying to find out how old you were. I didn't realize you were born in Los Angeles. At least you're not from Compton.
Yes, I was born in Hollywood at St. Anne's Hospital there.
And it doesn't say how old you are, but I guess you're up there around 68 or so.
Not that old.
You're 66,
born in 1958.
Oh, congratulations. I got you by six. Anyway.
There you go.
On your comment, you were talking to the man about, I don't know who he is, about the Constitutional Convention, y'all were commiserating about not knowing what was in the, there was no agenda published and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that part. But Landry campaigned on getting one of his prime things was to get rid of the income tax, corporate and personal income tax in Louisiana. He can't do that unless the Constitution has changed and a lot of these fences are taken away because, like your caller, the guy you were talking with said, it's quite a bit of money tied up in this income tax, personal and state income and corporate income tax. So he campaigned on this. So this is just step one in trying to fulfill his campaign promise. Now, whether he should be more forthcoming about what he's talking about, probably. But to me, it's just part of the deal.
Well, I've never criticized him for wanting to do a constitutional convention. I mean, what I've criticized him for is the manner in which he's doing this constitutional convention. And interestingly, if the state income tax is on the agenda, he's never mentioned it once. In fact, he's mentioned what he doesn't think is going to be there. But I don't understand the hide-the-ball approach where if you are a deliberate, credible leader, you know how important this is to the public. He keeps trying to convince us of how important this is to the public. The easiest way to convince the public that you're really looking out for them is to release your agenda. If you don't know by now the issues that you want to move from the state constitution to a revised statute calling for a constitutional convention to start in about 30 days, when are you going to know? I mean, I think that is pretty elementary. And I think you're doing the public a disservice by continuing to play this game as though we're idiots. If you are so confident about what it is that you want to accomplish, then you should have an agenda. Post it.
Right.
I would tell you, go watch the House and Governmental Affairs Committee. I'm sorry?
I'm not totally in disagreement with you. What I'm saying is that he campaigned on modeling the state economically like Texas, Tennessee, Florida, and what other, the other state was that doesn't have a state income or got rid of the income tax. And to do that, you got to take the fences off what's fenced in the state constitution financially, all the financial fences, because obviously you got to get the money from somewhere. So
sure,
I understand that, and I understand what you're saying about where's the agenda plan to do that. But that's what I really wanted to point out, that this isn't really a secret. The manor might be secret, but he campaigned on this from the get-go. He wanted to change New Orleans to look like Savannah and Charlotte on the economic model. Same thing.
Sure. Haven't been critical of that either. I mean, I think there needs to be a constitutional convention. I think it requires and demands a much more serious, deliberative process than what they hope to achieve. Part of this is for his political saving as well, right? I mean, he knows that he's facing a $500 million fiscal cliff next year. The way that this is structured, that a lot of other governors had had to deal with as well, is, and at the same time, he wants to get rid of the sales tax, the temporary sales tax that's in place. I get it. I think there's some support for that as well. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of what's going on here and the speed in which it's being conducted is to benefit him more so than anyone else, because it gives him the ability to spread these cuts over a much broader base, where it's not going to create a lot of friction, hoopla with the voting public about any number of issues. So we should recognize that as well. Just because he campaigned on it is one thing. Most everybody in the state legislature that I've talked to, both Democrats and Republicans, agree that there needs to be a constitutional convention. But not unlike everything else, the devil's in the details. And the details right now, no one knows what they are. If you watch the House and Governmental Affairs Committee meeting yesterday, it's very, very telling. Very telling about, you know, what they know, what they don't know, where this is going, how it's going to be conducted. It took them three meetings in House and Governmental Affairs for the administration to come forward and said, we have no intention of touching Article 1, 2, 3, or 4, which is all things that fall within the purview of House and Governmental Affairs. It was revealed, I think, to the surprise of many on the committee yesterday for the first time, that those issues that they want to take up in judiciary, Article 5 of the Constitution, is going to go to a different committee. Article 6, local government, is going to go to a different committee. Revenue and Fisk is going to go to House Ways and Means in Article 7. Article 8, Education, is going to go to the Education Committee. If it took 3 weeks for the administration to say there's nothing in Article 1 through 4 that we intend to move to a statute, we know that there's provisions that you just talked about, John, that's going to give him some latitude. How long is it going to take in those committees? And as of right now, today, they have not. Today, he calls a press conference and he says, I don't think that I really want to touch homestead exemption. And I don't think I really want to touch state supplemental pay. Now, does that sound to you like a deliberative, credible leader that is in control of the dialogue to support a constitutional convention? And do you find comfort in that statement that they know exactly what it is that they want to do, or maybe they just don't want to reveal it for some based on some strategy? I don't get a warm and fuzzy feeling from those comments, because yesterday in a radio interview with Jim Angster, he wouldn't even say that homestead exemption is off the table. And I think everybody pretty much knows if home
topic will float to the surface in the legislature on this constitutional convention. But right now, as things stand, from what I understand, having lived in the state for 30 years, the only two places you got to cut with this $550 million shortfall is education and health care. Am I right?
Well, that's not true. There are $7.2 billion in tax exemptions in this state, some of which are protected in the Constitution and some which are not. And it would seem to me that if you want to right the ship fiscally of the state of Louisiana, you might want to start there before you go hold an extraordinary procedure like a constitutional convention to see what juice is within those exemptions that you can deal with. Now, the truth be told,
I'm talking about as things currently stand, though.
The way things currently stand, they could call a special session and deal with tax exemptions. They don't want to. Why? Because they're going to consume a lot of political capital. A lot of the special interests are going to come out of the woodwork and start browbeating the administration and members of the legislature to do so. But not all of these exemptions are protected in the state constitution. They know that. And every time because of inflation, these exemptions become more and more and more valuable. The number goes up every time inflation goes up as to what the value is of those exemptions. They know it.
I disagree with you there, but what I was saying was just using past precedents that what they have done traditionally is they've gone to health and education for the cuts.
No doubt, because no one wants to go touch these exemptions. That have been around since the 1950s, right? You know who doesn't get exemptions? Is the small business owner, the sole proprietor, whose car, vehicle, truck is every bit as important to them as any other business that's out there. They don't get the sales tax exemptions. That's who doesn't get them. But we let a lot of other people enjoy the benefits of exemptions that have been around for decades. Generations of folks in certain categories of occupation and employment in this state that we curry favor to, and we continue to curry favor to them to the detriment of all others. No one wants to take that on because
it's climate.
Go look at it. It's a stack of paper. It's a stack of paper about maybe 16 inches in height of tax exemptions in the state of Louisiana.
Is the state of Louisiana a business friendly state or not?
In some respects, they are. There's no perfect business friendly state because our interests don't always align, nor will they ever. And so, the reality is that, you know, that you talk to a business groups, they say no, they're not, because they want 100% of everything. Well, I can't give you 100% of everything. You know, I mean, it's like the governor taking away the job component. If you're a manufacturer in this state, right, and they take and they exempt you from property taxes, manufacturers do not pay sales taxes because they manufacture a product for reuse from somebody else. It's not the ultimate consumer. It's not a transaction under sales tax law. So when you look at the two largest contributors of taxes in our economy, sales tax and property tax, if they're exempt from that, they are not contributing at all. And you remove the job requirement, then what are we doing? If there's no guarantee that they're going to create jobs to help stimulate the economy and that we can hold their feet to the fire on that particular issue, why are we doing that? They have now are enjoying the benefit of conducting their business in this state for almost absolute free. They don't do that in Texas. Everybody said, we want the Texas model. We want the Texas model. No, you don't. You're lying. Stop lying to the public. You don't want the Texas model because in Texas, they do not exempt taxes that go to education. Why? Because in Texas, somehow or another, through divine intervention, they recognize the importance of having a well-financed public education system. And they figured out that when it comes to the economic development world, that what people tend to look for is a well-educated workforce. I don't know how they came to that revelation. Maybe through divine intervention. Not sure. But somehow or another in this state, this strong desire that we have to have the Texas model, why don't we just vote the Texas model in? No, we give more. We keep giving more. We keep giving more. We have prostituted ourselves to the extent that we're working against our best interests. We're cutting off our nose to spite our face. I defy anyone to call me and say we have the Texas model because we do not, and they know it. They are lying. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're doing No Filter Friday today because we will be out at Jazz Fest tomorrow. So let's go back to the talk lines. Russell, you're up. What say you?
Yeah, hey, I want to say this right quick. This state is in bigger trouble than either one of us could think, because that gentleman that was on the phone that you were with, he was okay for the governor lying and hiding with him, and he sounded like a very intelligent man. He sounded like a man that had done his diligent due for mostly all of his life. And if they fool with the homestead exemption and with taxes, with real estate, and, you know, it's only going up. It's not going down. So that means the few going to have to make up for the masses that pay taxes that they're paying right now. I mean, everything about this governor, and I got to say one thing, Newell. You and I agree about, I agree with you about 49% of the time. But on this governor, you know, because even before he was the governor, he was telling people, if you don't like it, to get out of the state. That's not his domain to tell people that. He's not over everybody. He's not Putin, is he? is, you know, I'm just saying that's not his place, you know. And I just, Everything about him is not right. Just about. I don't see it.
Well, there's no doubt that he ran on reform. And look, there's a lot of what he's done that I actually agree with and support. And there's other stuff that he's proposing that I don't necessarily agree with. In this particular constitutional convention issue, I agree that we need to have a constitutional convention. I don't believe that the process that's been proposed is one that is a sound, fair process. And I think it's flawed in many ways. And I think a lot of the legislators that I've talked to, both D's and R's and independents, are afraid to buck the governor. I mean, the governor,
exactly.
your first year of your administration is probably where you are the strongest. You control a lot of purse strings. You control a lot of what's going on within the state legislature. And there are a lot of people that are afraid to stand up and speak their piece and say, no, this is not the way that we ought to be doing this. And that's why I believe right now more than ever, it is important for the taxpaying citizens, the constituents of this state, to call their legislators and let them know where they stand on this issue. The administration is putting pressure on them. The general public needs to put pressure on them as well. I've gone so far as to say that if my legislators vote for HB 800, I'm never voting for them again, plain and simple, because I think this is a defining moment to exhibit credible leadership, to stand up and say no. And almost all of them have expressed concerns about the way that this is being conducted. But the fact of the matter is, then stand up and vote your conscience and say, no, this is not the way that we ought to be doing this. And it's not because the governor's wrong about having a constitutional convention, because he's not wrong. It is the process that has been set up. And right now, we still don't know where the governor wants to go relative to this convention. That's unfair to all the citizens of the state of Louisiana. If he doesn't know by now, on the eve of us going into this constitutional convention, specifically what he wants to move from the Constitution of 1974 and all of its amendments to a revised statute, shame on him. Shame on him. Then he hasn't given it the respect to the process that he should have, and he hasn't done the due diligence necessary, and he thinks that we ought to just sit idly by and take it. No, we're not going to do – I'm not going to do that. Go ahead, Russell. I'm sorry.
Well, the gentleman that was on just now, and God bless him, I'm not trying to grind him into the ground, he gave the man a pass for not saying the whole truth. So the governor pretty much said half of the situation, the half of the truth, but not the whole. Well, but I think he, man, come on. He know exactly what he want to say and exactly how he want to say it. And I think it's just a cover up for the governor. I think we in trouble. I think that we are in a lot of trouble.
We've chewed a lot, and this combined with the Public Records Act provision, this is dangerous. I mean, where we're headed, this government is supposed to be serving us. They're supposed to be working for us, not the other way around. And,
right.
And I've been on both sides of this issue. I've been the elected official. I've had to deal with public records requests. They are a royal pain in the derriere. And there's no doubt that there are those out there that abuse the privilege, not unlike every other privilege, every other right that gets abused by people. But I understand that in the balance, if we are going to maintain the confidence of the public, we have to manage that very carefully. This bill, relative to public records, has not been managed carefully at all. It is a debacle. It is a mess. It is too far-reaching. They know it. We know it. And that's why this bill hasn't progressed, because they're trying to save it. Because A lot of folks are angry at their elected officials for even going down this path. And you combine this with the manner in which this constitutional convention is being conducted. Again, we are in the dark. It seems as though he's already put the public records bill in effect, because the deliberative process of what they have gone through with those 27 members or the transition team or whoever it is that talked about what they wanted to accomplish in this constitutional convention, to date, right now, bam, they have not shared it with the public. So it's almost as though he's acting under a public records law that hasn't passed yet in many respects.
Which brings me to the last thing I want to say. He has no humility. He's not humble. He acts like, I guess, a dictator. I mean, you don't have no courtesy, no like humbleness. I mean, who do that sound like in this country? And I'm not going to say the name. You tell me, Newt. I'm going.
Listen. He has a style, okay, and that style has worked well for him. Jeff Landry's not a dummy. He didn't get to where he is by being stupid. He didn't get to where he is by not understanding the political winds, and he didn't get there by not understanding and deploying strategies that have worked for him thus far. But being a legislator, a member of Congress, and being an AG is different than being a governor. You have to govern for the entire state. And your particular ideology doesn't always align with those on the left, those in the middle, and with some of those on the right, myself included. And it's a different animal for sure. And it's going to be interesting to see whether or not his style, and I'm not going to criticize his style, but whether or not his style is going to work for him. It is definitely working in some corners. There's a lot of folks intimidated. A lot of folks that are not willing to step up. And that's why I sang the praises of Senator Pat Connick the other day. He stood up, one of the few Republicans that went public and said, the Public Records Act is a bad thing. We need to defeat this bill. And he should be recognized for standing up, because there's not many others. I put the challenge out there. Hadn't heard from many. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Let's go to Ronnie. Ronnie, you're up. What say you?
Hey, Newell. Thank you for taking my call. Last Friday, you had the insurance commissioner on. I don't recall his name.
Tim Temple.
Thank you. And he was giving some figures on the hurricanes and emphasizing we have to stop these frivolous lawsuits from being filed. And I'm just curious how he would know what percentage of lawsuits is frivolous, because I can't think of a way that that can be determined. But he said that, I think, Katrina, there were 7% frivolous lawsuits, and that's just too much. And he came across to me, I was really offended by what he was saying, because he's making it sound like the problem, there's a problem with the homeowners. And there's no problem with the homeowners in filing a lawsuit. The hurricanes that he pointed out with the biggest amount of lawsuits was Katrina and Ida. Well, naturally, with more severe storms is going to come more damage, and the larger the claims are, the less the insurance companies are going to want to pay them, and that's what invites the lawsuits. So I'm in a lawsuit right now with my insurance company over Ida, and I have solar panels on my roof. I didn't know that my roof was damaged. And I didn't file my claim until, you know, the last minute. I just had so much to do. But when they came out, he said, yeah, your roof needs to be replaced. And there were many other small things. And then there were a few large items on the inside, some pieces of furniture, mirrors that had fallen off the wall from the pounding of the hurricane. So after he filed his, the adjuster filed
Is this the insurance company's adjuster? The insurance company's adjuster?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so he called me up a couple of days afterwards and said, USAA needs to get your invoices on the installation of your solar panel. And I questioned why. I said, well, why would they need that? They've never asked for an invoice of anything else, but why would they need that? He says, well, I don't know. They just need it, so you need to send it to them, and you can upload it directly to their website, which I did. Well, I found out shortly afterwards when I spoke with my solar company that the removal and the replacement of the solar panels to put the new roof on is covered by insurance. And that's the reason why they were asking for that. But then when they made the payment to me, they didn't include that. So now we're in mediation, and when it's brought up in mediation, the attorney representing USAA is saying, well, you never sent us a bill for it. It's like, well, I never sent you a bill for the roof either, but you paid that because you knew it was damaged, and you knew that the solar panels had to come off and go back on because you requested the invoices to show that I owned it. And what I learned is that the reason why they wanted the invoices to know if I owned it is because if they're rented, as some people can lease solar panels, it's not my property, and therefore that's not covered. But they didn't say anything. So here they are, not making the payment until I have to bring it out in mediation. And this is what they do. Anything big, they don't want to pay it. And there's structural damage done to the house as well. So
and Ronnie, very interestingly, one of the bills that's up there is about this itemization of cost. And it's going to be incumbent upon you to fully itemize a lot of these things. And as you said, you didn't recognize nor realize immediately that there was damage as a underneath your solar panels. That this is part of the rub. And if it's clear in the policy that they should pay, why? I raise this question all the time. Why are we arguing about it? I mean, it either is it or it ain't covered, right? I mean, and they're not even saying it's not covered. They're just saying, well, you didn't tell us. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you about how much the roof would be either. But you can't deny that you didn't know there were solar panels there. Again, how would I repair the roof if I didn't deal with the solar panels? And this is how this gets very circular. And I like you, are frustrated with this frivolous litigation. I went through it with Katrina on some family property in Mississippi, and everybody was pointing fingers at one another. And so we were compelled to file suit and enter into mediation. And what happened? In the end, the mediator said they're both going to end up paying. Wasted a lot of time. We could have worked that out, and we're willing to agree to it much earlier on in the process. But that's not what they wanted to do. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, let's go to Chuck. Chuck, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Newell. How you doing?
Doing well.
Good, good. Just a couple points, and just, I want to hear your thoughts on them. First of all, when Trump put in those justices during his administration, I was a little nervous, you know, would there be partiality or impartiality? Of course, you would hope a Supreme Court justice would be impartial, right? Of course, you know, the one that came to mind was especially the controversial one like Amy Coney Barrett. I was concerned about, was she just going to lean everything towards what that administration was concerned about? Yet, just recently, I don't know if you saw that, she, in the current trial that's going on with Trump, she cornered his attorney into a corner, his attorney into admitting that Trump was not immune from prosecution, you know, trying to use the official business act, you know, saying that these were official presidential acts. So that gave me a real comfort that, you know, especially somebody from Louisiana is doing the right thing, because you just hear constantly people doing the wrong thing. And she's using her intelligence and the law to, you know, make decisions based on reality and the truth. That's just one point I'd like to make. And the other point is,
what she said was, is that when you're utilizing the trappings of the office for your personal gain, that is not something that you should be the beneficiary of an immunity. And she's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And bravo to her. Just wish there were, you know, more people that could think on their own and think the right way and not just for some political gain, which is what maybe
I don't
Landry's
like when
doing.
We say think the right way or the wrong way. Look, I mean, there's a difference of opinion as to the construct of the Constitution and whether or not this is a living, breathing document, or do we look at historical precedent to determine where we're going to be on these issues.
Well,
I don't think either thought process
is
illegitimate. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
The truth.
I get
it's
it.
The truth.
Yes, sir.
That's all I want to hear.
Yes, sir.
And,
absolutely.
And the other point is, we're in an oligarchy right now. We're not a democracy anymore. That's how these powerful politicians do what they do, because they're not only politicians, they're businessmen, and they just want to make money. Ounce of money.
Got to get to the break. Thank you so much for calling in. Oligarchy, small group of people having control of a country, organization, or an institution, for those that are asking. We'll be right back, folks. Check in with Scoot. He's up next. Stay with us. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, Jazz Fest and Deserted Classic, and what the hell happened to the Pelicans last night? Cantrell is on a trip again. 51% of Americans support a massive deportation of undocumented immigrants. And Gwyneth Paltrow and her husband argue about one thing. I wonder if you argue about the same thing. We'll talk about all of that this afternoon.
Got a great lineup coming your way. Stay tuned, folks. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Hope you headed out to Jazz Fest, Zurich Classic, or all the other things going on. We'll see you in the morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.